That's good news, isn't it? Love is bubbling over in my heart. And that's the way God wants it to be. Because we read in His Bible that He so loved us that He did what He did. Created the heavens and the earth for us to live on, enjoy forever. Forever. Death didn't come into existence regarding humans. There were only two until they disobeyed God. And that's when death arrived on planet Earth. We're glad that God has watched over us and brought us to this point where we have done what we needed to do to come and worship Him in spirit and in truth. And it's amazing how so many people across the world worship God in different ways, and God only gave us one book. One book. But yet, we humans, it appears that we have our own decisions as to how He should be worshipped, as opposed to how He says, I want to be worshipped. We're glad that you've come together, you have studied your Bible, and you've come together to worship here our Heavenly Father, who so graciously created us and planted this universe prior to our creation. Everything was all here, all ready for us. And then He created human beings. Let us study His Word today. And let us talk a little bit about home and heaven. Home and heaven. Those of you who have been on the road, traveling here, there, and yon, we're glad to know that God has blessed you to come back safe. Some have been away because of loved ones have been called from off the scene of time into eternity. Certainly you know that our prayers have been with you. Heaven and home. Home and heaven. We often relate home to heaven, even though we've never been there yet. The only home that, or I should say the only heaven that some people will ever know, is just what they have right here on earth. And that's sad. God is offering us something other than, more than, even greater than what He has created us to try to live during our earthly sojourn. You've often heard the expression heaven on earth in reference to home. Home has the capability of using the finest, of providing the finest experience that man has ever had on earth, aside from his relationship with God. Writers have talked about homes on earth. Writers have written about homes on earth. Some writers have even written songs about home. Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the sky. This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. No, I'm just going to keep talking. I'm not going to sing all those for you. Maybe later. Peace. This relationship of mine between heaven and home, it's not an accident. It's not something that caught God by surprise. It is simply another example of God's planning and God's way of introducing a common vocabulary between church and heaven. Your Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8, willing and rather to be absent from the body and to be where? Present, to be at home. To be at home with the Lord. We read in John chapter 14 in verse 2, the house of many mansions that God has prepared. In my Father's house are many mansions. These are just a few scriptural references which indicate that heaven is a real place and is a real home. Our divine heavenly Father is in every home, that is home. The hand of God operates every time a child is born into a home, regardless of what kind of home. From this we see that the grace of God is extended even to those who disobey Him. Sometimes folk get mistaken. They don't reverence God, don't worship God, and things are going so well. Oh boy, things are going. I'm just mighty lucky now. God is a loving God, but God means what He means what He says, and He says what He means. God demands obedience. He's going to live forever. So He doesn't have to be in any hurry to get to your case, to deal with you regarding your disobedience. The grace of God is extended to even the vilest kind of sinner. But a Christian home could well be called this is where God's children is birthed. It's a womb, the womb, W-O-M-B, of God. Home comes. Boys and girls are born, trained and prepared for entrance into the Christian life. Many of you grew up in a Christian home, and oh boy, the strap and the rule had a lot of action. Mamas and daddies guiding their home in such a way that God is well pleased, training up their children to learn and to nurture and to be obedient to God's commands. Home can be heavenly as far as we know it. Most homes can be improved, of course, and even those homes that are considered Christian homes, we too can always make some corrections, yes, sir, improvements, yes, sir, and develop in such a way, help have the activities of our home developing in such a way that they become better. Amen. The environment of a good home is the peace, the joy, and the love, and patience, and understanding, and attachment based in God's love makes that home a happy home. Amen. No father can contemplate the joys of his home as he plays with his children, and also as he observes how they are growing and even having a relationship, a loving relationship to God. At an early age, there is no organization or no institution on planet Earth so favorably equipped as the home to do what? To provide one with security, comfort, rest, and knowledge about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How the earth is, how it came about, and how human beings came about. All because of the love of God. And you know, you notice God, He created the world, the universe, and everything that it needed before He created human beings. He did all of he did all of that work that we read about. 6 days before created those whom He planned to live there. And it didn't cost us a dime to create the universe. Didn't have to do any work to create this universe. God did all of that before He created humans. Isn't that loving? Oh, church, why do we have difficulty loving the Lord? Lord, I can worship You one time on Sunday and that's it. I can't give You but one day. I mean, no, not one day. I can't give You but one worship. Amen, preacher. To the people of God, heaven. To the people of God, heaven is life. Filled with joys, filled with pleasures, filled with happiness. Something far better God has created just for us. Even after all that we have done down here that displeased Him, He's preparing another place that's even better than this. And sometimes human beings may have a disagreement and they don't see each other. Don't talk to each other. No communication with that person. All because they didn't do what I wanted them to do. Where are we? Where are we in the eyes of God? Wanting to go to live eternally with the God that has created every human being. And just because there's a little bit of friction that came up between us, animosity sets in. Oh, it's a blessing when individuals have a happy home. The Christian knows that there is nothing on earth that can really compare to the eternal home in glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and the verses 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, we have what? We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. What does that verse let us know? That verse lets us know, pardon the colloquialism, but this ain't all it. This is not all that God has for human beings. Yes, loved ones, folk that we don't know, also leave this world and death. But not out of existence. Not out of existence, because you've read the book of Revelation. Well, there's going to be a great day. A great day of getting up. Yes, sir. Revelation chapter 20. There's going to be a judgment day. Let us be careful of the decisions that we make that's contrary to the will of God. I want to encourage you and I want to urge you to worship God. Study with us. Take time to read God's Bible so that you will know for sure what God has planned for your life. And know for sure that my life that I live, I am pleasing God. Pleasing God. Heaven is an eternal place. God did not create us in His likeness just to destroy us. For whatever reason, God loves us. He wants us to so live that He can bring us home with Him in glory land. And He even put some information in this book called His book, the Bible, about the place that He is preparing for us. to be and to live with him forever. Now listen, since we know that God is doing all of this, planning for us to live with him forever, and of course he's planning another place for the folk that's going to be hard-headed and don't do that, but doesn't that tell us something? That God wants us to live with him? We're going, it ain't, that's not the proper English, is it? It is not the end when we attend the funeral. When we go to the place of burial and that coffin with that person's body in, it's because God has called out of that body. He's the one that put it in. Don't you remember? In the book of Genesis, God formed man from where? From the dust of the ground. That's where he formed him. That's where he gave him some form. But the form didn't have any life in it. There was no man in that form until what? Until life came out from God himself. And he put life in that body. Life in your body. But your body was just a body when God picked up the dust from the ground. It couldn't walk, couldn't talk, couldn't do anything. But when God breathed into the body, man became a living soul. You still there? That same God that did all of that work, 6 days, created man also. Guess what? When we leave this world, die, that's not the end. The soul goes back to God who gave it. Body goes back to the earth. Going to get a brand new one. You see, this one is subject to death. So he calls it, when he calls us out of the body. Now remember, Brian, go ahead. When he formed dust, created and made man a form, then it still didn't have any life. It was just dust shaped. But God breathe out of God into that form. Life. Life, as we've said so often before, is going to be forever because it came out of God. What is God doing? He has created a world. He has created man to live in this world. And God apparently wants some more beings in eternity. I don't know how many beings are in eternity. The Bible talks about the angels and all of that. But it doesn't give us a number. It's how many. He wants more. He wants you. He wants me. He wants humans to come and live with him one day. That's why he created us the way he did. To live forever. Die in favor with him. And come and live with him forever. The Christian knows that there is nothing on earth that can really be compared to the eternal home that God is preparing for us. Now, I don't know if there will be work for us and eternity, but I'm sure God will have us doing something. But one day, we must leave this earthly home. Our preparation room, that's this. This is our preparation room for eternity. Will we be prepared to dwell in the heavenly home? Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, for me too. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. Verse 22, but if to live in the flesh shall bring fruit, from my work, then what I shall choose, I know not. But I am in a strait between the two, having the desire to depart and also the desire to leave, to depart and to be with Christ. For it is far better yet to stay around on planet Earth. I will be able to do what needs to be done so much. Continue to preach and to teach the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When we reach the point in Christian development that Paul has reached here, we will have matured and will continue to be meat eaters as opposed to dust eaters. Paul realized that there was a better home. Do you realize that there is a better home? We're not hurrying up to die. But we want to live as long as we can here healthily. We know already, if we have any kind of sense at all, pardon that colloquialism, that we're not going to live forever on planet Earth. Amen. Because Revelation says that God's going to destroy this. That's why they're so busy working in eternity to prepare for our coming. They're not doing that for naught. God has a home waiting for us for a purpose. But we can only get there by his obedience. No disapprovement, no disobedience is allowed in glory land. But you know what? Pardon the colloquialism, it ain't allowed down here. That's why everybody is not going to make their eternal home over heaven, because they don't know how to be, they don't choose to be obedient to God's information and to God's commandments. Take the Lord. Whatever you do, take the Lord in your life. Paul realized, so did Peter, but Paul realized that there was no better home than what God was preparing for his faithful saints. The time of my departure is at hand. That's Paul talking. He was sure of where he was going. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. You know the text. Which the law of the righteous judge shall give to me at the last day. But he says, not to me only. Not to me only. What God did for Paul, he will do it for others. Hello? What God did for Peter and Paul, they were both in prison at the same time. And at that prison, Paul and Peter knew that they were not going to get out of it alive. And they did alive, and they did not. But they walked. With the Lord. They had a welcoming home. We too can have a welcoming home. That's how much God loves us. Say, well, I'll tell you. Some of you are aware of the fact that this is personal. Sister Brown and Brother Brown and our son, we went on a vacation. Really short, but it was a vacation and pleasurable. It was wonderful. Don't mistake. Don't believe what the Bible doesn't give us regarding a place that we have never been, eternity. God says what he means. He means what he says. There's a preacher One of the states, one of the cities, let me leave it with the state. One of the states that we journeyed to, I knew, the family knew, two preachers, Church of Christ preachers. One of them was away in a gospel meeting. The other one, so we were planning to go to that one on that Sunday morning, and we did. And we had planned to go to the other one Sunday night. We did, by the grace of God, was blessed to go to the one that we have chosen on Sunday morning. Worship with the saints. Had a glorious time. Had a glorious time. I'd been there before. At night, when we went there, we, after service, they wanted to see, we all going to be here with us tonight? No, no, we plan to go to the da-da-da-da-da congregation. Well, we must inform you that the da-da-da-da-da congregation, they don't have night church. Why? Why? We want to make our calling and election sure. Is it too much to give to God, to offer to God? From my limited post of observation, and I'm sure probably from many of yours, what God has waiting for us compares nothing with what I go through to, for Him to give me all of this. He's going to do all of this, and all I'm doing is this. And He's still going to give it to me. Doesn't charge me. Church, let us remain stateful, loyal, steadfast, and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? For as much as we know that our labor has great return from humanness, from humans, is not in vain in the Lord. Hold on to God's eternal home. Hold on to God's eternal word. God knows everything. He never forgets anything. And He's always there for us. It's amazing that He still loves us, even when we don't do all we are supposed to do. He still loves us and wants us to straighten, as the old song used to say, straighten up and fly right. Some of you are old enough to know about that. Straighten up and fly right before it's too late. Because we're not going to live here forever. And the backside of that is, this, pardon my colloquialism, but this ain't always going to exist. This universe, this world, not always going to exist. Only for a season. And God's going to call halts to living on planet Earth. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Oh, I'm just not getting to, I have five pages and I'm just not getting to page three. Peace. Calm down. Do you love the Lord? Do you really love the Lord? What does any human being can give you on earth that's better than what God is offering? Have you gotten a better offer than God? Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and upon you, and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall have rest unto your soul. And you can also come. I'm designing a place for you to come and live forever. No more dying. No more sickness. Come and live with me forever. If you find a better deal as a gospel preacher, I would recommend that you take it. If you can't find a better deal than what God has given you, I will triple my encouragement to you. Take it. make your calling and election sure. So at the final roundup of human affairs, when the books, Revelation 20, when the books are open, everybody, heaven keeps a book of ocean of us. I have a book, you have a book, he keeps a record. Read Revelation chapter 20. It tells us. I think that's the chapter. If that's not the chapter, read all of Revelation. And it says that on that day, the books that heaven keeps is going to be open. And we're going to be judged out of those things that are written in our book that heaven did the writing in. What's heaven going to say about this evening? You say, well, I don't understand. What do you mean this evening? Some of you may not know what this evening is. It means this evening. Means this evening. This evening. We also have Bible class on Tuesday night. What is going to be? What's going to be on your record? Heaven keeps a book. It's going to be open at the judgment. Why are you so busy? You don't have time for me. You don't want that as your record, on your record. Because if we don't have time for God on earth, he doesn't have time for you to be in his heaven. Come on home. Come on home. Make your calling and election sure. I'm not much, but I'm all I've got. Take me, Lord, and use me to your service. If you're here and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, and I know you find a church here, and a church there, church everywhere, church. So I'll just pick me out a church that I like. Pick you out a church that God likes. Not that you like, God likes. And because God loves it, you learn to love it. Because his son died for one church, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. 1-1-1-1-1. That's what the Bible says. The apostles, I'll remember this tonight by the grace of God. I hope. Jesus gave his apostles, 12 apostles. Said, now, I've worked with you. Go to Jerusalem on his last day on earth. Don't go preaching anywhere. Go to Jerusalem. My Father's going to send you the Holy Spirit. It's going to guide you into all truth. All truth. Go to Jerusalem and wait until that happens. And after that, read your Bible, Genesis 1. He began to float. They were standing looking, amazed. That must have been some sight. A human beings floating on air, going on back to glory. I'm told by scientists that if we could develop a plane and shoot men into outer space before they reached the last star, they would have died years ago, going at lightning speed. That's how far it is. Jesus went on back to glory. He's still alive. The apostles, God sent the Holy Spirit 10 days, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the words and brought to their remembrance everything that Jesus had taught them to carry the message. And that's what they began to do. It's in your book in Acts chapter 2. Jesus had given Peter the privilege of preaching the first sermon in completion on planet Earth in Mark chapter 16 and about verse 18. So all the apostles, they were so excited, all of them were preaching by the power of the Holy Spirit. But in verse 15 of chapter 2 in the book of Acts, Peter became the chief speaker. And he preached into that motley crowd of thousands from different parts of the world. They interrupted Peter when Peter said, that same Jesus y'all killed 50 days ago is alive and in heaven. They were shocked. Said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized. He didn't tell them to pray. And be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And with many other words that he testified and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this wicked or one untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word, I trust this morning that you have gladly received the word of God. They that gladly received the word of God were baptized. And the same day that were baptized, the same day, about 3 souls were added to the church of Christ. The church of Christ. That's the only church that every apostle ever preached about. Wherever they went, they always preached the church of Christ. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. No other church did an apostle establish except the church of Christ, because he preached the gospel that came from God like God said it, without addition or subtraction. So sad, so sad. So many people don't study the Bible for themselves, and they just listen to preachers because they're preachers. They just believe that they know what they're talking about. No disrespect, but some disregard for the doctrine that's being taught. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. The water's ready. The baptizer is ready. The garments are ready. Are you ready? If you're not in the church of Christ, become a son or daughter of God. That's your call. It's your call. You don't have to go to heaven. You don't have to go to heaven. God has a place for folk. God has made preparations for you. If you want to go to heaven, God has made preparations for you. If you don't want to go to heaven, he has made preparation for you. But you don't like the preparation that he made. You will never like the preparation that God has made those who disregard his commandment. The opportunity and the privilege is yours. You come as we together stand and sing the song that's been selected.
Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, just now, just now, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, just now. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, just now, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, just now. He can save you. He can save you. He can save you. Just now, he can save you. Jesus can save you just now.
Do you know? Do you know how much longer you're going to live? Let me phrase the question differently. Do you know exactly when you're going to be called off of this planet into eternity? What's your point, preacher? You know what my point is. Since you don't know when that's going to be, why you want to go? Why you want to leave here knowing what the Bible says that you haven't done? Not me. What the scripture says. Why do you wait? Why do you keep God waiting, knowing I'm not in the place that he wants me to be? Because I haven't read about it in his Bible. But yet you want God to love you, to keep you around over and over and over again. He might do that, I don't know. But why not make your calling an election, sure? Get it right with God. So whenever he calls me, I'll be ready to meet him in glory. In glory, there are no second chances. It's going to put me a judgment day when he's going to judge. He says he's going to judge the world in righteousness. You want to hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Preacher, you're trying to make me do it? No, I can't make you do that. But God loves you, and he's manifested his love. Do it because you know what God has done for you. If you want to come, you come. Otherwise, be seated, please.
Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, just now, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, just now.